Home prices rise unexpectedly.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street begins the day. The price of a single-family home in this country climbed a little bit, unexpectedly, though, from March to April. We'll look into that in a moment. First, where's Wall Street? Uh-oh, the Dow Industrials are down 194 points, bringing them back below that 10,000 level. The Dow stands now at 9,944. The NASDAQ is down even more sharply, down 2.5%, and the S&P 500 is off 2% right here, not much after the opening bell. And here's another indication of investor nervousness, U.S. Treasury bonds. People look for safety. They look to Treasury bonds and notes, and demand is so high that the interest rate you can get on a 10-year note has fallen below 3% for the first time in more than a year. Stocks in Europe and Asia also down by about 2%. There were some weak economic numbers out of Japan, and in Europe, Greek workers are on strike again, protesting budget cuts there. As I mentioned, though, single-family home prices in this country came up unexpectedly in the latest report from Standard & Poor's and Kay Schiller. And here to talk about that is our regular Tuesday morning guest, analyst Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company. She joins us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Bill.
You have been our pessimist about the housing market, Julie. How does this morning's news hit you that home prices lifted a little?
Well, very exciting because you've got low interest rates, low prices. These are the lowest in 40 years. Prices are up nearly 1%, so that's semi-exciting. But the problem is the first-time home buyer's credit closing through June is now gone. The punch bowl has been taken away from the real estate party because there's still huge supply overhanging the market.
Well, then let's talk about that home buyer tax credit. Some people are saying, look, here's the proof that that was a boondoggle. The government spent a bunch of money on it, and it was a mirage, and prices are going to come back down. Other people say, well, what it proves is tax credits, that's about the only thing making people buy now at all, and the fragile economy needs that. Bring on more government stimulus. Where do you stand, Julie?
Well, the key thing is it did move a lot of purchasing early, moving it ahead of time. Now you're basically faced with a problem of huge overhang. California, for example, completely over as far as the real estate recession is. New York is still sinking. Miami, condomania, that's going to collapse anyway. But it's a huge overhang of shadow inventory held by banks. The foreclosed, not on the market. You don't want it to depress prices even further. We still have more foreclosures going on. So a new home tax credit simply will not take care of that problem. You have to write it off, and we've got to get rid of this overhang.
Okay, so a little more stimulus okay with you despite the deficits that are scaring a lot of people around the world.
Well, the stimulus has to come in the form of jobs because people aren't going to buy houses until they have jobs and know that they can maintain a mortgage. And bottom line, the U.S. economy and the world economy depends on government stimulus and support, but not this artificial kind. It has to be in the jobs area. The patient is so weak and still on crutches, and the governments are going to be taking away the crutches in the name of fiscal austerity now.
We'll talk more in coming weeks about how to create jobs. Analyst Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company, thank you.
You bet.
It looks like the center of Tropical Storm Alex will miss BP's leaking oil well in the Gulf of Mexico, but the 12-foot waves the storm is likely to bring could hamper oil containment efforts. Not good news for BP's financial health. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson with a story from New York.
Estimates are that every day the spill goes on, BP may be adding $250 million to its liabilities. The company says it has already spent $2.6 billion on the spill response. Now, some firms that trade oil and gas with BP are starting to get worried about the company's financial condition, and energy trading is a big part of BP's business. Here's analyst Pavel Molchanov at Raymond James.
BP's trading arm is very large globally, and it's a significant source of corporate profitability, and it helps facilitate other aspects of BP's day-to-day operations.
Potential trading disruptions have caused concern about financial firms as well. The New York Fed has been checking into the links between BP and major banks to see what effect further trouble at BP would have on Wall Street. But sources say BP doesn't pose a risk to the financial system overall. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
This morning, Google said it will stop automatically rerouting users of its China search site to its Hong Kong site. Google's license to do business in China expires tomorrow, and Beijing was threatening not to renew it. Here to tell us what Google's latest move means is Kevin Heisler, internet analyst with Jupiter Research. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
Could you briefly, for those of us who haven't followed it, tell us what this is about, redirecting users from the China search site to the Hong Kong site?
Essentially, it opens up a small portal for users to click on a tab that brings them to the Hong Kong site from the Google mainland site, google.cn.
Yeah, and why does China care so much about that?
Well, China wants the ability to control content and make sure that users only see content that the government approves of.
Right, right. So now Google is saying instead of just automatically switching people to the Hong Kong site, which is unfiltered, visitors to google.cn, the China site, will see a tab that says, "We have moved to google.com.hk, Hong Kong," and you have to click that to go to Hong Kong. But, Kevin, that doesn't sound like a big change to me. Why is that an important concession?
It's not a big change. You're right, Bill. It's a very small concession, but it's a face-saving move, and it gives Google the ability to say, we're not taking a moral stand, we're not saying that we object to China's policies, we're giving in a little bit so that you can continue to renew our license and let us do business in China.
So we'll see how China reacts, but a lot of money might be at stake for Google, but why should our listeners care?
Well, listeners should care because Google's the first company to say that they want to do no evil. They want to be a good global citizen, and the business of China is business, and Google needs to be there and wants to be there. It's good for the U.S. economy, but moreover, it's great for internet freedom and the ability to express yourself freely online.
Kevin Heisler with Jupiter Research, thank you.
Thanks very much, Bill.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.